Lutheran Service Book is a hymnal with more than 600 hymns, Luther's Small Catechism, 150 psalms, daily prayers, and more. And you can take it with you wherever you go with the new Lutheran Service Book ebook edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, a devotional resource when you're on the go. Lutheran Service Book ebook edition, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, issuesetc.org.
It's all wrong. John sent me here to save you.
From the Terminator that was sent back to kill me, I know, but we already took care of him.
We
have been waiting for you.
The time John sent you to, it no longer exists. Everything's changed. We can stop Judgment Day from happening.
Wait! Where is he?
I'll be back.
What?
That's an excerpt from the movie trailer for Terminator Genisys, the fifth in that series of movies. Arnold Schwarzenegger, even into his, his senior years, his AARP years, is still managing to make an appearance there, both in his real form and his CGI form. Will I have to go back and watch all four of the previous movies in order to orient myself in time? Because this is about time travel, as well as world destruction. Am I going to have to go back and watch all four of the previous movies in order to pick up where this one picks up? Welcome back to Issues Etc. live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be reviewing the movie Terminator Genisys. Pastor Ted Giese will join us. Then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. Matthew 27 and 28, we'll be talking about that section of the Creed where we profess Jesus to be Savior, namely in his death and his resurrection for us. Now, you can join us for the next hour with questions or comments. 1-877-623-MY-IE is our call-in number, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to review the movie Terminator Genisys, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Welcome back, Ted.
Thanks, Todd.
This is obviously going to be a lot like the other Terminator movies, but is this fifth one, this fifth installment, is it in any way different from the previous Terminator movies?
I think it was great. I heard you mentioning, you know, am I going to have to go back and watch these past four movies to be oriented to what's going on in this movie? And the answer to that is only if you really care to. You could just plop yourself down in this movie and watch it, and it will orient you to what's going on. It takes the first 20 minutes or so to kind of, like, catch you up on things. They kind of revisit stuff from the first and second movie to kind of like cement you into the timeline that they're about to shatter and break. Like you said, it's a time travel movie, and then what happens is they kind of start messing around with the storyline as you're expecting it. It doesn't get too far away from what you might expect from a Terminator movie, but there are some kind of key left-hand turns that happens. The major left-hand turn that happens is that they're going back in time, the good guys, to a time in the past to save their illustrious leader from death before he's born. And the woman who's going to be carrying that child to term is supposed to be kind of a waitress, and she's not really, very tough. And this guy shows up in the past, and what he's expecting he doesn't find. In fact, she is now a war-hardened, groomed soldier. And that's not what he expects. So that's kind of like the first big left turn. that the show really takes.
So orient us in the world of the Terminator, and if you can, because it does involve a lot of switchbacks in time.
It does.
And you, not only people going back in time, but the Terminator being sent back in time, sometimes to destroy the world, sometimes to destroy himself. Sometimes he's good. A lot of times he's very, very bad. How would you explain this to someone who maybe has not had any interest up to this point and says, well, I'd like to see one of Arnold Schwarzenegger's last movies before he leaves this world. Maybe I'll go see Terminator Genesis.
Yeah, this is a science fiction, time travel movie, action movie. Some of the first couple movies were kind of horror kind of ish, like they had like kind of scary stuff in it. This not so much. But they all revolve around that kind of time travel story. And you always have good guys and bad guys. The good guys and the bad guys are all kind of traveling through time to stop an event from happening. All the movies are about a robot apocalypse and humanity's reaction to it. So there's a computer program that becomes sentient, like an artificial intelligence, who decides, kind of like in that movie Age of Ultron, the Avengers movie, decides that the best thing to do is to wipe out humanity because they're the biggest threat to the world. And that's what the story is about. So it's humans trying to stop that from happening, like defending themselves. And, of course, the robot, artificial intelligence, also trying to wipe out all of humanity. And there's a key figure, this John Connor, who is the child that's going to be born, who is the kind of military leader in the future of resistance. So it's all hinging on that moment in time when he's going to be conceived and when he's going to be born, and trying to stop that from happening on the bad guy side of things. Skynet is the computer program. And on the good guy side of things, trying to make sure that that child is conceived, born, raised, and reaches maturity and is able to fight against Skynet, the machine.
All right. Is it a good movie?
I enjoyed it while I was watching it. When I was done watching it and I started to ruminate and think about it a little bit more, I think that it could have been a better movie. It definitely had piles of potential and lots of fun, interesting moments if you like this kind of thing. Again, it's one of these movies that's steeped in nostalgia. This, I think we could say, is the year of nostalgia, is nostalgic big tent kind of movies. We've got all sorts of these things coming out this year. But the main thing is they kind of threw, I don't know if they were afraid this was the last one they were going to ever make, but it felt like they were throwing everything in the kitchen sink into it. And if they had kind of taken out a couple things, maybe pared it back a little bit, they could have probably saved about a half hour that they could have used to really focus in on a key relationship within the movie that I think is part of the reason why people wanted to see it in the first place. And that's the relationship between Arnold Schwarzenegger's character of the Terminator and Sarah Connor, now played by a younger actress, this Amelia Clark.
So what's the nature, without giving too much away, what's the nature of that relationship?
Because it's a time travel movie, the second of those movies, the first one, the Terminator was sent back to kill her and stop that child from being born. The second one, the same kind of Terminator shows up, but now he's trying to protect her and her son, John Connor, from different robots. What they've done in this one is that, kind of like heading all of that off the past, the Terminator goes back even further into the past and arrives when she's just like 12 or 13 years old. And then basically her family's all killed and he raises her. So think of the movie Leon the Professional or something like that, where you've got like the assassin raising the young girl and they enter into kind of a family relationship. So she calls him Pops, and which is fitting because he's an older guy, and they even have an explanation of why he can look older. The flesh on his body is human. His flesh on his robot body is human. So it ages even if his body doesn't age, right? The catchphrase he has is old but not obsolete. So this is that relationship, and I think that people maybe wanted to see, I sure did, wanted to see more of that relationship being fleshed out, pardon the pun, more of that. Like, it suggests that there's a deeper relationship there, but you don't really get to it because there's so much other stuff going on in the movie.
So it's a little bit hampered, the story's a little bit hampered by the action, it sounds like.
To a certain extent, the action is good. There's enough of it, but there's kind of like whole characters that they didn't need or they didn't do a lot with. Like J.K. Simmons, who became popular, he won an Oscar for that movie, Whiplash. You've seen him in all sorts of TV shows. He's in this, and he plays a cop who was there back in 1984, and now it's all happening in 2017, and now he's at the end of his career, and he knows what's going on, he recognizes what's happening. But like that whole entire character, like they didn't really do much with it, and all it did was ate up the clock. So it just took time away. So it's not even necessarily the action that does it, but some of these additional characters that they've kind of slathered onto the whole thing that causes that to happen in terms of the story, the narrative. You know, from a Christian perspective, think Gospel of Mark. Streamline, you know, really excellent, to the point. And this movie needed to be more like that, and just, it's kind of just rambling all over the place.
Okay, kind of one technical question, and then we'll take a break, and I got a couple more for you on the other side of the break. The technical one is, we've reached this point, I think, in filmmaking, big, gigantic, blockbuster filmmaking, which certainly the makers of Terminator Genesis hope this will be, because it kind of comes from a film that has become a cult classic, the original at least. They have reached the point where you can film anything you want to because of CGI. You can put anything on film that you want people to see. There are no limits any longer whatsoever. If you want to put it on film, you can do it. Now, I just heard the other day that the makers of the new Star Wars, the latest Star Wars, have decided to kind of cut back on that and say, look, let's make it the way they used to make films and not depend so heavily on generating it in a computer. This film has to be able to use that stuff. Does the CGI and all the special effects that this thing is made of, does it detract from telling a good story? Or does it have a good story to tell in the first place?
The story could be better. The CGI is pretty good, although like there's this one robot that's all liquidy, and it basically looks the same as it did back in, you know, Terminator 2. Like there's no advancement there, per se. The reason why, like, we reviewed that movie, Mad Max Fury Road, that movie was excellent because it was very concrete. It was a lot of practical effects. It really resonated with its past history of filmmaking, because there was movies of those before this last one. And I think that, yeah, like having it grounded in like some concrete real world stuff, like the new Star Wars movie, like it's going to be in a real desert, it's like there's going to be real stuff in it mixed all in, that's very helpful, I think. Like the practical effects are really, really help ground a movie in reality, and that's kind of like the key into things now for the viewers, some sense of it being grounded in something they recognize. Because, yeah, you can do practically anything with CGI now.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. He'll be with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break. We're reviewing the movie Terminator Genesis. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, is only $15.99. CPH.org.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing the movie Terminator Genesis. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. In a few minutes, Pastor Tom Baker will join us from Long Gospel. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson for the remainder of the hour on Matthew 27 and 28. Ted, I got one more question on the CGI issue that we were discussing before the break. And that is, and I think the key here in connection to this film is that Arnold Schwarzenegger has to appear both as himself, an actor perfectly suited to playing a robot, and then also as himself in a very sophisticated CGI form in which he is obviously much younger. They've done this before with Arnold Schwarzenegger. But have we reached the point with movie audiences where they know it used to fascinate us and we used to kind of go, wow, what, I never seen anything like that. Now we've seen everything. And so seeing two Arnold Schwarzeneggers interact or even fight with one another, even if it's done flawlessly, we know the trick. Is that part of what we're dealing with in these big budget CGI films?
I think so. I think there are like really talented people working really hard to make like those moments where you're thinking to yourself, wow, I've never seen that before. So you are still going to run into movies where things like that are going to show up. Like just when you feel like you're totally jaded, something awesome is going to show up. This movie doesn't really have one of those moments in it. Although old Schwarzenegger fighting young Schwarzenegger as the two Terminators is a really cool part of the movie. Like that is a real fun portion of the film, and they do a really good job of that. So, I mean, like that's kind of maybe worth the price of admission for some people going to that movie.
All right. There are at least two biblical allusions, one very obvious, one a little more subtle in this film. The first one is just in the title, Terminator Genesis, although it's spelled in kind of a kooky way. What's made of that? Anything?
Well, I think that like that kind of suggests that the movie is going to be about the creation of the Terminators. So it's kind of like their book of Genesis kind of thing. I mean, again, it doesn't really get into a lot of that, but the idea of Genesis being a beginning. So that's the kind of thrust behind that. Of course, now you've got the good guys who are trying to stop the beginning from happening. Back in like the second of these movies, like the threat of nuclear apocalypse, like a nuke going off, like all around the world, like just complete atomic destruction, was kind of a real fear. And it brings in the second kind of area that this movie is about, which is Judgment Day, like the last day, like just the total end of everything by fire, atomic fire in this case.
So what would you have? That's a very common trope.
Yeah, it is.
And it has been probably in the entire nuclear age. So it's a big thing in film. What would you have our viewers of the film know about the true Judgment Day in light of that?
I think that when you're thinking about a movie like this, if you're watching it and you get past everything else and you're having some thoughts about it, When they start to present like a scenario, like these post-apocalyptic end of world scenarios, what would the end of the world really be like for us? And we have a picture of that from the book Revelation, from Revelation chapter 21. And St. John there, he talks about it, and he says that he saw the new heaven and the new earth descending, for the first had passed away. And he talks about what it's going to be like, and he says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And I think that's super important to remember as a Christian, because the devil wants you to be worried about the end of the world and afraid of it. And yes, we are to fear, love, and trust in God, and we are to call upon his mercy, but you are a baptized child of God. And on the last day, you have nothing to be afraid of, because you are in Christ, and that is where you want to stay. And I think that that's something, like, anybody who watches this and has any reservations about the end of time need not. You're not going to have some sort of Skynet robot overlord making your life miserable. You're going to be with Christ, and that's going to be a good thing. The other Bible passage that kind of clicks in my head with all of these Terminator movies is from earlier in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. And that's the verse that says, "The dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron." And really, what you've got, and it's a peculiar part of the Christ story, where, you know, right here in the book of Revelation, it says, you know, the devil is seeking to stop Christ right from the beginning. And all of these movies are about an evil force that's trying to stop a child from being born. And if that child gets born, stop the child from growing up. And that child is going to grow to be a kind of a messianic savior of the human race. So that's kind of another one of those biblical allusions that shows up in all of these movies.
There is a twist on that, though, in the film itself, isn't there? I mean,
there is, because in this particular case, and spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear this and you're listening to it on demand, just hit pause. In this particular film, not in the other ones leading up to this one, but in this particular film, Kyle Reese and Sarah Connor's son, John Connor, does get kind of swallowed up by evil Skynet. That's what happens in this. So there's another twist that happens in this particular film.
Finally, you said at the beginning of our conversation that we could call this, at least in terms of filmmaking, this particular year of filmmaking, the year of nostalgia. And it's not just remakes now. Or rebooting old films, it is driven a lot by people our age or somewhere around there remembering the films of their youth and wanting to go back and recapture a little bit about that. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's interesting. I think that, you know, this kind of always happens. You know, in 20 years from now, it's going to be a whole different kind of thing that people will have been interested in. And if we're still watching movies, we may be scratching our heads. But a lot of these are movies that we did grow up on. The one movie that everybody's looking forward to this year and has great hopes attached to is the new Star Wars movie by J.J. Abrams. It's going to come out in December on the 18th, and we'll talk about it when it comes out. And J.J. Abrams is the guy who rebooted, kind of with a sideways take, the Star Trek series. And that first one was so well done. And I think that people are just really hoping that, and he seems to really love Star Wars, but I think they're hoping that he gets it right. And for the most part, they're getting the nostalgic edge of all of this right. All of these movies, from Jurassic World to this Mad Max, Fury Road, and now this Terminator Genesis, they're getting the nostalgia part right. The question is are they getting the rest of it right? And that Mad Max Fury Road had a leg up on it because it was the same director from the past who was involved in it. And perhaps this Terminator Genesis needed its own George Miller. Maybe it needed James Cameron back to really bring it home. But yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting year for filmmaking.
With the nostalgia finally here, Ted, do we lose the originality? I mean, people will sit down and devote an entire Saturday to watching all the Terminator films. Some people will just do it. And some people say, I've seen it. I want to see something in film that's original.
I think there are some original things coming out this year. There's one that I missed in the theater, and I kind of want to see it, and it was recommended to me by a couple listeners, and it's called Ex Machina.
You got to see it.
It's not really going to be a one for younger people. Did you see it?
Yeah, got to see it.
Yeah. It's supposed to be pretty original, a bit of a different take on things. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing it. But there are going to be those original different things out there for people to get a hold of. But, you know, like, it seems like the big ones right now. Although, like, I get Minions is huge in the theater. I didn't get to see it. That was the big one this last weekend. And that's kind of original. It's a sequel to Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2, but it's kind of focusing on something different. There are some original things out there. I don't think you need superheroes to make a big splash. But it's been an interesting year so far.
Folks, you can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of the movie Terminator Genesis at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker on this Monday afternoon teaching a Sunday school lesson. We're going to be looking at the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus under the theme, the creedal theme of Jesus, our Savior, and finding it there in Matthew 27 and 28. Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.holycrosslutheranalbany.org.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. And the love of God. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues Etc. as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.